Now let me come back to this very wonderful message that Paul has here. And you'll notice when Paul begins his message, he says, my manner of life from my youth, and verse 4, that he comes immediately to the issue. You see, the crux of the matter is the resurrection. And you'll find that if you take the resurrection out of the apostles' message, it loses its significance. There'd be no defense, no gospel, no message at all, and no apostle. You cannot explain Paul apart from the resurrection. And friends, you take the resurrection out of the gospel, it's meaningless and it's powerless. And that's the reason today the church has lost its power. It's the reason today that the church stands helpless before a world today in great need, because it's not declaring the gospel. The church was intended to do one thing, and that was to declare the gospel. This one thing I do, said Paul, and it's time that the church is saying that. We are so filled today with organization, and the church is trying to do everything under the sun. If it just get back to declaring the Word of God, then God would bless, I'm sure. Oh, there'd be problems. We'll never escape those. After all, Paul's having his, is he not? But the word's getting out, and now to a king. And we find out here that the death of Christ, the cross of Christ, by itself is a tragedy. It could be a martyrdom, but it was a catastrophe. It's a reflection on the goodness of God if you remove the resurrection. You see, the gospel to Paul was the cross interpreted in the light and power of the resurrection. It's not the cross apart from the resurrection. Paul said he was delivered for our offenses, but he was raised for our justification. Now, Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. But Paul said, I declared to you the gospel. That's in the same epistle of 1 Corinthians. And he says that gospel is that Jesus died, buried, rose again according to the Scriptures. Now, when Paul gives a simple explanation of his conduct, which was the natural outcome of one with his background, he goes on to tell about how he lived a Pharisee. He goes on to tell about the experience that he had on the road. And he says in verse 9, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And friends, the Lord Jesus has never had an enemy that has been as bitter and as brutal as Saul of Tarsus was. I think actually Hitler was a Sunday school boy. And I think that Stalin and communism is weak tea compared to Saul of Tarsus. He had an inveterate hatred of Jesus Christ and of the gospel. Now, we find here that this man now says, and he's just stating the case, he says, I thought I ought to do many things. Why? Because of his background, because of his training. Now, he says, and I not only thought I ought to do it, I did it. He tells about how he wasted the church in Jerusalem and how he shut up many of the saints in prison. And that's one of the reasons this man could stay for 2 years in prison. The reason he could suffer such abuse from the religious leaders, because he'd been one of them one time. He knew exactly how they felt. And this man is able here to give that background. And he tells about how he pursued and persecuted them even in a strange city. Then he tells about the experience that he had on the Damascus Road. And you find out that he tells about his conversion. And he tells about the vision that he had. This was Paul's experience. And he goes on to say that he was on the way to Damascus. And now the Lord Jesus waylays him, knocks him off of a donkey down into the dust, and that he came up with the fact that he'd been going against the will of God. Paul in Philippians, by the way, he says, what things were gained to me became loss, and what was lost became a gain. A revolution really took place in his life there on the Damascus Road. He had trusted religion, and he had religion. But when he met Jesus Christ, he got rid of all of that. What was gain, he counted loss. And now Jesus Christ, whom he hated above everything else, became for him the most wonderful thing in his life. And he describes here the reality of the vision that he had. And the Lord told him that he'd deliver him from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. That he told with a telling blow. Because there is before him Governor Festus and King Agrippa, and they can't touch him. You know why? He's a Roman citizen, and he's appealed to Caesar, and he's going to Rome. My friend, these two can't touch him. They can hear the message that he gives. And could any preacher have had a more wonderful opportunity of presenting the gospel than he did?